The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jackie Marino for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Nutrition News. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the Nutrition Action Health Letter. Go With Your Gut, The Scoop on Better Sodas by Caitlin Dow and Lindsay Moyer. Soda with benefits. Microbiome approved. A new kind of soda. The latest crop of fizzy drinks like Olipop, Poppy, and Sunsip are healthier than a sugary Pepsi or Coke. That much is clear. But do these pre- and probiotic sodas support your digestive health? Here's a gut check. What's a gut-healthy soda? How do you market a low-sugar soda for gut health? Toss in some prebiotics, probiotics, or both. Prebiotic sodas like Poppy, Myowell, and Sunsip and half-day iced teas add at least one kind of fiber that can feed your gut bacteria. Probiotic sodas like Culture Pop add a strain of microbes that can survive the stomach's acidity, but they may not do much for the gut. Others mix it up. Wild Wonder adds a probiotic plus a prebiotic. Olipop, a juggernaut of gut sodas, adds prebiotics plus botanicals. One thing is certain, Noda Soda offers the benefits that you'd get from the array of intact fibers in a steady diet of fruits, vegetables, and whole grains. No matter how you spin it, bran flakes and beans beat root beer. Pepsi versus Poppy. Guts aside, there's good reason to pick soda 2.0 over the sugary stuff. Calories and sugar. A 12-ounce Coke or Pepsi has roughly 40 grams of added sugar, about 10 teaspoons. That's as many calories, around 150, as 3 or 4 Olipops or 5 to 8 Poppies. Most gut sodas have no more than 2 teaspoons of sugar. Low-calorie sweeteners. Poppy & Co. add stevia or monk fruit extracts. Both beet diet sodas, aspartame and acesulfame potassium, which we rate as a void. Prefer your soda less sweet? Culture Pop adds no monk fruit or stevia extract to its diluted fizzy fruit juice. On the downside, gut sodas often sell for a pricey $2 to $3 a can. If you want a stevia-sweetened soda and don't want to pay for prebiotics or probiotics, try Zevia, $1 to $2 a can. Inulin. Inulin is a naturally occurring prebiotic fiber found in onions, asparagus, wheat leeks, and other foods. Prebiotic fibers are poorly digested carbs that feed your gut bacteria. It's hard to find a food or drink claiming to have prebiotics that doesn't use inulin. Most packaged foods that add inulin get it from chicory root, Jerusalem artichoke, or agave. Why is inulin so popular? It can be sweet, so companies may use it to curb the added sugar while upping the fiber. That's a win-win for labels. What about your gut? In studies where researchers gave people 5 to 20 grams of inulin a day for 2 weeks to 3 months, the volunteers had higher levels of bifidobacteria in their stool, and therefore in their gut, than the placebo takers. But it's not clear that boosting bifidobacteria levels benefits your digestive tract or any other aspect of your health. And inulin has a downside. When the bacteria in your gut gobble it up, they release gas. In studies that tested 5 to 20 grams of inulin a day, inulin takers reported more flatulence than placebo takers. Most prebiotic sodas have 2 to 9 grams of fiber, largely from inulin. Does doses under 5 grams also cause gas? Few studies have looked, but people vary. If you tend to have a sensitive gut, odds are that you'll feel inulin's gaseous effects at low doses. Olismart Blend. Olismart is the proprietary blend of ingredients that Olipop adds to its soda. It includes 3 prebiotics, cassava root fiber, chicory root inulin, and Jerusalem artichoke inulin, and 4 botanical extracts, nopal cactus, marshmallow root, calendula flower, and kudzu root. Cassava root contains resistant starch. Like inulin, resistant starch feeds gut bacteria. Just don't expect much from the botanicals. First, it's not clear how much of each extract is in a can of Olipop. The company didn't respond when we asked. Second, the research on each of the 4 extracts is skimpy or irrelevant. Take calendula flower, aka marigold. Trials have tested its potential benefits in topical creams and ointments or mouth rinses, not what happens when people swallow it. As for kudzu, what we love most at Olipop is the fact that kudzu root contains prebiotic or indigestible fiber, says the website. What does kudzu fiber do for your gut? No trials have looked. Only one decent trial has tested nopal cactus, or prickly pear, on GI symptoms. Compared to taking a placebo, taking 20 or 30 grams of nopal fiber a day for 1 week relieves symptoms of irritable bowel syndrome. 10 grams a day didn't. A can of Olipop has 9 grams of fiber, but it's unclear how much, if any, of that fiber comes from the drink's nopal extract. Then there's marshmallow root, which yields a gummy substance called mucilage. Mucilage can also be soothing and protective for the mucous membranes lining your digestive tract, says Olipop. This may provide relief for conditions like heartburn, indigestion, and IBS. Interesting theory. Too bad no randomized trials have tested marshmallow root on people. Bacillus subtilis. Both Wild Wonder and Culture Pop add Bacillus subtilis, a shelf-stable probiotic bacteria. But a bacteria's effects depend on the strain, and Wild Wonder didn't respond when we asked what strain of Bacillus subtilis it uses. Culture Pop strain, Bacillus subtilis DE111, has been proven to support gastrointestinal health and to help reduce gas and bloating, says the drink's website. Not exactly. In the only DE111 study to report on gas and bloating, a pilot study funded by the DE111 makers, researchers randomly assigned 44 healthy adults to take either a placebo or 1 billion colony-forming units of Bacillus subtilis DE111 every day. After 4 weeks, the researchers reported more DE111 takers had reported adverse events like constipation, diarrhea, gas, and bloating than placebo takers. Other symptoms like GI inflammation, gastric function, and colon pain didn't vary between groups. Bottom line, more and better studies are needed. Sweet Surprises by Lindsay Moyer. By July, perfect summer fruit is everywhere. But why wait? Many of these hidden gems show up in spring or early summer. You can find the others pretty much any time. Golden berries. The pleasantly tart, snackable golden berry looks more like a baby yellow tomato than a berry. It's a relative of the tomatillo. Many grocers stock it fresh or dried for most of the year. Dried golden berries, like Whole Foods 365 Organics, are more tart than sweet. For a trail mix add-in that's not candy-like, sprinkle some in with your favorite nuts and seeds. Golden kiwi. Compared to its green cousin, a gold kiwi has less tangy flesh, fewer seeds, a smaller core, and smoother skin. Peak season runs from late spring through fall. Fun fact, all kiwis offer potassium, folate, fiber, and vitamins C, E, and K. The green flesh packs more vitamin K and fiber, but golds have more vitamin C. Apriums. Fresh apricots come into season in May, months before summer peaches and plums. Likewise, the first varieties of apriums hit stores and farmers' markets in late May and June. Apriums are hybrids of apricots and plums, so they deliver the tastes of both in plums' dense, juicy flesh and fuzz-free skin. Honey mango. The petite oblong-shaped honey mango is similar than a typical mango, with sweeter, smoother fruit and velvety flesh that's never fibrous or stringy. Get them while you can. Peak season is short, March to July. Don't see honeys? They also go by names like champagne or atolfo. Tip, your honey mango is ripe when the skin turns a deep golden yellow and wrinkles slightly, yields to a gentle squeeze, and smells great. Not ready to eat it? Refrigerate for up to 5 days before digging in. Donut peaches. Do you count the days until peak peach season every summer? Why not tide yourself over with an early bird? The donut peach, aka Saturn, UFO, or flat peach, shows up at farmers markets and some supermarkets in late spring. Bonus, donut peaches are less fuzzy than full-size peaches, so there's no need to peel if you're fuzz-averse. The squat stone fruits are petite enough for snacking and sweet enough for pies. Candy grapes. Everyday red or green, Thompson seedless grapes are delish, but don't stop there. Springtime means you might spot pink or red-tinged musket grapes. Some go by names like honey pearl. With a delicately sweet flavor and a tropical taste like lychee, they're a knockout. Want candy sweet flavor year-round? Go for green cotton candy grapes. In late summer, try purple Tomcord grapes. Think Concords, but seedless. For an icy treat, wash and then freeze. Now a recipe from the healthy cook, Kate Sherwood. Spring into summer. This dish is a winner all year round, but really shines in spring and summer when local fresh vegetables abound. And speaking of fresh veggies, feel free to substitute whichever ones you have on hand. Rainbow stir fry. No chili bean paste at your supermarket? Any chili sauce or paste works, but if it's sweet like Thai chili sauce, skip the brown sugar. Ingredients. 1/4 cup dry sherry, 2 tablespoons reduced sodium soy sauce, 1 teaspoon brown sugar, 1 teaspoon chili bean paste or Tobin John, 1 teaspoon cornstarch, 1 tablespoon plus another tablespoon neutral tasting oil like peanut or sunflower, 3 cloves garlic chopped, 1 teaspoon minced ginger, 2 cups sliced rainbow carrots, 4 cups other sliced vegetables like zucchini, onion, and celery. Make the sauce. In a medium bowl, whisk together 1/4 cup water with the sherry, soy sauce, sugar, chili bean paste, and cornstarch. Set aside. In a small pot over medium heat, heat 1 tablespoon oil until shimmering. Stir fry the garlic and ginger until they start to turn like golden, 60 to 90 seconds. Whisk in the sauce and bring to a boil over high heat. Cook until the sauce is thickened, 1 to 2 minutes. In a large pan over medium-high heat, heat the remaining 1 tablespoon oil until shimmering. Stir fry the carrots and other vegetables until they start to char in spots, 1 to 2 minutes. Add the sauce to the vegetables and stir fry until hot, 1 to 2 minutes. Serve 6. Food find. Sayonara seeds. In search of a healthy snack, it's hard to beat bell peppers. Crunchy, sweet, low in calories, high in vitamins, and you can add a side of hummus, tzatziki, baba ganoush, whatever you please. For years, growers have been working to make the near-perfect pepper more snackable. First, they shrank it, yielding mini-sized super sweet peppers. Now, they've axed the seeds. Just rinse off new Nature Sweet Constellation sweet and seedless mini peppers and dig in. Nature Sweet's melange of red, orange, and yellow peppers aren't the only seedless ones around. You can also try Sunset Lolly Peppers, all reds. One downside, supermarket brands of mini peppers come in plastic bags. That aside, minis and full-size peppers have plenty of pluses. Among them, a 3-ounce serving, about 4 minis or 1 cup of slices, has roughly a day's worth of vitamin C. Red, orange, and yellow peppers have more than green ones. You'll also get a smattering of fiber, folate, and, especially in reds, vitamin A from beta-carotene. And you can expect the other carotenoids like lutein in green peppers. Mini peppers aren't just for dipping and snacking. Try them served alongside a sandwich, stuffed with chickpea or chicken salad, or in a green salad. How sweet is that? Quick dish, pan-seared mini bells. In a large pan, heat 1 tablespoon extra virgin olive oil over medium-high heat until shimmering. Saute a bag of mini bell peppers with 2 sprigs of thyme until the peppers are charred in spots, 3 to 5 minutes. Add 1 tablespoon red wine vinegar and 1/8 teaspoon kosher salt and stir to combine. Remove from the heat. Serves 4. Food fail. Flour by the foot. There's nothing better than a Subway Series footlong, except when you add a new footlong sidekick like the boss with a new footlong cookie, says Patrick Mahomes, quarterback for the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, in the TV ad. This might be my favorite sidekick ever, adds Mahomes as Kansas City tight end Travis Kelce stares back in disbelief. Yep. Subway is now offering a $5 footlong cookie, a $3 footlong Auntie Anne's pretzel, and a $2 footlong Cinnabon churro. What a steal! The churro delivers 190 calories, mostly from refined starch and oil, while the pretzel hits 330 calories, mostly from white flour, with a bonus 1,330 milligrams of sodium, more than half a day's worth. But the cookie takes the jackpot. It's got enough white flour, chocolate chips, sugar, palm oil, and other ingredients to deliver 1,330 calories, 32 grams of saturated fat, a 1.5 day supply, and 24 teaspoons of added sugar, enough for today and tomorrow. Each 2/3 pound cookie is like eating half a family-sized package of Chips Ahoy chocolate chip cookies. In February, CNN reported that Subway temporarily took the cookie off its app as the chain was scrambling to get additional supply to meet demand. It doesn't happen often, but Subway has managed to pull off not just one, but three offensive offsides. Ticked off. Mosquitoes and ticks are more than just annoying pests. They can transmit serious, life-altering diseases. Your best defense? Preventing bites in the first place. Here's what can help. When and where? Mosquitoes are typically active around dusk and dawn. Some also bite at night. Tick season is April through September, though ticks can be active anytime temperatures are above freezing. Hiking? Stay in the middle of the path, away from tall grasses and bushes where ticks like to hang out. Tick checks. After coming inside, throw your clothes in the dryer on high heat for 10 minutes. Check for ticks in your belly button, under your arms, in and around your ears, between your legs, behind your knees, and around your waist. Do your best, or ask someone, to check in your hair. If you find an attached tick, use tweezers to grab it as close to your skin's surface as you can. Using even pressure, pull the tick straight out. Avoid twisting. Clean the area with soap and water. Bug repellent. What to use? Look for a repellent with EPA-registered ingredients like DEET, picaridin, or oil of lemon eucalyptus, which have been reviewed for safety and effectiveness against mosquitoes, ticks, or both. Go to epa.gov/insect-repellents/find-repellent-right-you. The EPA doesn't review natural repellents, usually made with essential oils. Consumer Report tests have found that natural repellents offer little protection. DEET is the gold standard bug repellent and is far safer than most people think. Downsides? You may find its odor unpleasant, and it can break down synthetic materials. Higher percentage active ingredients typically offer longer protection, not more protection. Most repellents with 15 to 30% DEET will protect you for 5 to 8 hours. Bug repellent? How to use? Apply bug repellent to all exposed areas of skin. Don't apply it under clothing. Don't spray bug repellent directly on your face. Spray it into your hands first, then rub it onto your face. Skip products that combine sunscreen and bug spray. Sunscreens need to be reapplied more often than bug sprays. Clothing. Cover as much of yourself as you can with loose-fitting, long-sleeve shirts and pants. Mosquitoes can bite through clothing, but it's harder to reach your skin if your clothes fit loosely. Tuck your shirt into your pants and your pants into your socks so that bugs have less access to your skin. Treat your clothing, boots, socks, and gear, like tents, with 0.5% permethrin, an insecticide that kills bugs on contact, or you can buy pre-treated clothing and gear. And finally, bug-proof your yard. Make your yard unattractive to ticks. Keep your grass mowed and clear out of leaf piles. Create a barrier with wood chips or gravel between wooded areas or bushes and your lawn. Every week, turn over, cover, or empty and scrub anything with standing, untreated water to get rid of mosquitoes to breeding grounds. Why scrub? Some mosquito eggs can stick to a container for months. In one study, citronella candles, mosquito repellent wristbands, and sonic devices didn't deter mosquitoes. However, a fogger that uses a fan to emit the EPA-registered pesticide metafluorthrin did. What's Bugging You? What to Know About Bug-Borne Diseases by Caitlin Dow. Over the last 20 years, more than a million cases of bug-borne diseases have been reported to the CDC, and that's only a fraction of how many people were actually infected. Here's what to know about three of the most common: Lyme disease, tick bite red meat allergy, and West Nile virus. Lyme disease. Each year, nearly 500,000 people in the U.S. are diagnosed with Lyme disease, estimates the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. It's by far the most common bug-borne disease in the United States. Lyme is most common in the upper Midwest, Northeast, and Mid-Atlantic states. You're most likely to be bitten by an adult female or a young nymph deer, also called black-legged, tick. Nymphs are the most dangerous because they're about the size of a poppy seed, says Pritt, a pathologist at the Mayo Clinic. Really tiny, easy to miss. An adult black-legged tick is about the size of a sesame seed. Not all black-legged ticks are infected with Lyme disease-causing bacteria, and not all infected ticks will transmit the bacteria to you. And even those that do transmit the bacteria don't do so immediately, though they can swiftly transmit other bacteria, viruses, and parasites. It takes about 36 hours while the tick is attached for the bacteria to actually be transmitted to you, says Pritt. That's why it's important to do tick checks and remove ticks as soon as possible. Some good news: if a tick has been attached for a day or two and it's engorged, and you're in an area with Lyme disease, a doctor can prescribe a single dose of the antibiotic doxycycline to prevent Lyme disease, Bobby Pritt explains. Engorging matters because a flat or unfed tick is likely to transmit Lyme. What happens if you get Lyme disease? 3 to 30 days after being infected, says Pritt, an estimated 70 to 80% of people will get a rash. The rash can grow to about 12 inches across, and in many people, it looks like a bullseye. It may be solid red or have blue or purple hues. It's rarely itchy or painful. Some people get several rashes. If you have a rash and are in an area where Lyme disease is common, a doctor can prescribe a 10 to 14 day course of antibiotics. People treated with antibiotics early typically recover quickly and completely from Lyme. But say you don't see the rash or you never got one. The early symptoms can include fever, headache, joint pain, or body aches. It can feel like the flu, says Pritt. Those nonspecific symptoms can make it rather challenging to diagnose Lyme. And there's no blood test that detects Lyme in its early stages. The blood test for Lyme measures antibodies that your immune system makes to fight the bacteria that cause Lyme, but those antibodies can take a few weeks to form. Early detection and treatment are critical. The longer you have Lyme, the worse its consequences. Lyme can move into your joints and you can end up with very swollen, inflamed joints, notes Pritt. It can cause inflammation of the heart or brain. You can get something called a facial palsy, where half your face will droop. It can also lead to difficulty concentrating. West Nile virus. West Nile virus, spread by mosquitoes that have been bitten infected birds, first made landfall in the U.S. in 1999 in New York State. Since then, it has spread to every state except Alaska and Hawaii and is the leading cause of mosquito-borne disease in the U.S. It's not unusual to see increases in the number of West Nile virus cases from year to year and in different locations throughout the U.S., says Randall Nett, chief of the CDC's Arboreal Diseases Branch in the Division of Vector-Borne Diseases. Most people infected with West Nile virus don't feel sick, says Nett. About 1 in 5 will develop a fever with other symptoms such as headache, body aches, vomiting, diarrhea, or rash. Most of them recover completely, but fatigue and weakness can last for weeks or months. Then there are the unlucky 1 in 150 people infected with West Nile who get very sick. They develop severe illness affecting the central nervous system like encephalitis, inflammation of the brain, or meningitis, inflammation of the membranes that surround the brain and spinal cord, says Nett. Some people with severe West Nile illness make a full recovery, but for many, the damage is permanent and life-changing, causing problems like motor dysfunction, memory loss, and depression. Around 10% die. People with mild symptoms can deal with the virus like they would the flu, with rest, fluids, and over-the-counter painkillers. But those with severe illness often require hospitalization, so avoiding bites is key. Prevention of West Nile virus depends on community-level mosquito control programs, says Nett, but everyone can play a role in helping protect themselves by using EPA-registered insectant repellents and taking other prevention steps. Alpha-gel syndrome. For a growing number of people in the U.S., red meat is off the table thanks to a bite from the Lone Star tick. Alpha-gel syndrome, often called red meat allergy, is caused by the body's immune responses to alpha-gal, a sugar found on the blood surface of the red blood cells of some mammals, including cows, pigs, and lambs. Alpha-gel syndrome was first discovered some 15 years ago. Last year, the CDC estimated that there are upwards of 450,000 people in the U.S. living with it. One theory, ticks pick up alpha-gal from feeding on mammals like mice and deer, then transfer it to people. But a Lone Star tick bite doesn't guarantee that you'll get the allergy. In central Virginia, where we are, a hotspot for the Lone Star tick, about 15 to 20% of people test positive for antibodies against alpha-gal, says Wilson, but probably 9 out of 10 of those people would not have a reaction to eating red meat. To be diagnosed with alpha-gal syndrome, you must have a positive blood test and symptoms like itching, hives, stomach pains, vomiting, swollen lips, or trouble breathing after eating red meat. But responses to foods containing alpha-gal vary. People with higher blood levels of antibodies to alpha-gal tend to have a stronger allergic reaction. The dose also matters. Organ meats like kidney and liver are full of alpha-gal and often result in stronger reactions. Alpha-gal levels in muscle meat, steaks, burgers, bacon, etc., fall somewhere in the middle range, but very sensitive people may have to even avoid foods with low levels like dairy or gelatin. People with alpha-gal syndrome may not have to avoid red meat forever, though. Our best evidence suggests that you're most likely to outgrow alpha-gal syndrome if you can avoid more tick bites, said. And it is more likely to be perpetuated if you get more bites. Avoiding ticks may help your immune memory forget alpha-gal. Your immune memory tends to wane over time, says Jeffrey Wilson, an allergist and immunologist at the University of Virginia School of Medicine. We've run out of time for today's episode of Nutrition News. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jackie Marino, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Nutrition News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.